to another edition of the Left of Lansing podcast with yours truly, Pat Johnston. Welcome again. You can always email me at leftoflansing@gmail.com. I'm also available on Twitter and on the Facebook as well. And if you are listening to this podcast, well then, you found me. All episodes can be found wherever you get your podcast. But please, don't forget that you can catch every episode on my blog, which is leftoflansing.com. Soon, I will be expanding this podcast where I will include interviews like, you know, we used to do in the early days. The whole point of the Left of Lansing podcast is to give everyone an insight on Michigan's progressive political movement. That means I'd like to hear from those who are on the front lines of that movement and who are taking the battle to the right-wing Republican Party here in the state of Michigan. I will also interview other experts on a host of issues, and I'll also love hearing from some of the more influential writers and thinkers on the progressive side of the spectrum. That's the whole point of this podcast, and that's where I will get this whole thing back up and doing here real soon. For example, thanks to those on the front lines, and thanks to those who chose to join the fight, Michigan made news in a great way last week.
Today, we're going to take action to make sure that our statutes, our laws, reflect our values and our Constitution. I'm excited today to be signing a bill that will repeal our extreme 1931 law that bans abortion and criminalizes nurses and doctors for just doing their jobs. This is a long overdue step, and it proves that when we keep fighting to protect everyone's ability to make their own decisions about their bodies, we can win. During the conversation around these laws, I was asked often about this trigger law, and I had to explain, no. This is not a trigger law. This is a zombie law. This predates Roe and is at threat of coming back to haunt us all, right? So to all the women and girls and our allies and states that don't value you or your rights, maybe you should come to Michigan. To all the LGBTQ plus community who are live in states who don't value you or your rights, maybe you should come to Michigan as well.
That was Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer speaking at a bill signing ceremony last week, which once and for all erased the wretched 1931 abortion ban from the books. Now, Michiganders voted by a whopping 56-43% margin to pass Proposal 3 in 2022, better known as the Reproductive Freedom Initiative. That initiative cemented the right to an abortion, birth control, and maternity care. It was a huge victory for those of us who support abortion rights. Yet, even though Michigan voted overwhelmingly to back a woman's medical and economic freedom, there was still this archaic 1931 law banning abortion on the books. So, in order to get rid of any and all anti-abortion language, Michigan Democrats in Lansing passed bills to erase this law once and for all. State Representative and friend of this podcast, Lori Pohutsky of Livonia, and State Senator Erica Geis of Taylor introduced bills banning the old trigger law, which not only banned abortion, but criminalized it. And by a party-line vote, the bills passed both chambers, allowing the governor to finally vanquish it from the books. As Senator Geis said during the bill signing ceremony, Democrats nullified this law, quote, that served to stymie the freedom of people to have the bodily autonomy to manage their own sexual and reproductive health once and for all. Can't argue with those words. It's a huge move for Michigan to demonstrate to not just the country, but to the world how welcoming Michigan is for women and for all people who are seeking freedom. I believe that's a bold economic and social agenda, but it's a progressive agenda that Whitmer clearly is proud to be a part of. Now, I noticed on Twitter last week that Jarrett Skorupt from the conservative think tank the Mackinac Center posted the following. He said, regardless of how you feel about the issue, I find the strategy of, hey, let's sell abortion as a population growth strategy to be bizarre. I responded with the following retort. I said, I think the strategy is reinforcing the image that Michigan believes in economic freedom for women. On the other hand, you have Idaho Republicans banning pregnant girls from crossing state lines. I guess we'll just have to see which state has the more popular policies for women. Now, Jarrett, who was once on this podcast, which I appreciated, responded to me by saying, you're going to compare population growth between Michigan and Idaho? Well, yes. Yes, I am. I mean, that's the metric that Jarrett used in his original argument, but that's the economic and social argument that we progressives are making here in Michigan. It's especially important after that far-right-wing federal district judge in Texas, Joseph Kaczmarek, I think is his name, after his decision to cancel the abortion drug mifepristone last week. It was just one of a long line of decisions by far-right-wing extremist judges who are clearly legislating from the bench. Now, Kaczmarek went against years of study and expertise by the FDA, which proves that the drug is safe, but ruled for the drug's removal because of his wish for women to do what he orders. Remember, that's the bottom line. It's all about men ordering women to do what they want to do. However, there was another case surrounding mifepristone in Washington State, and the judge there ruled that the drug is to remain available in the 17 states that joined in that lawsuit. And Michigan is one of those states, thanks to Attorney General Dana Nessel. Here's the Attorney General talking about that Texas federal judge's crazy, crazy ruling.
It really undermines every notion of legal jurisprudence that we've had historically in this country. You know, this is not an emergency set of circumstances. There's been no evidence that mifepristone is unsafe or is dangerous. And in fact, just to the contrary, it's one of the safest drugs on the market. And so in cases like this, generally speaking, you know, you don't have an immediate order that goes into effect prior to the case even being fully heard by the district court, let alone a circuit court of appeals, let alone the United States Supreme Court.
You see, by being a place that values in the medical and economic freedoms for women, we just might be the place younger women will choose to work and live. We might just be the place that younger families will choose to work and live. Michigan is becoming an older state, and we have to figure out ways to bring in a more younger, talented, vibrant workforce. The old ways of doing things that the DeVos family wanted and groups like the Mackinac Center wanted did not lead to some great big economic boon to our state. Our population continued to drop during the 2010s while redistributing wealth to the rich donors and corporations and becoming a right-to-work-for-less state, which all happened right under right-wing Republican rule. If Tudor Dixon had defeated Whitmer in the governor's race in 2022, and if Republicans had retained control of the state legislature, and had progressives not put the right to an abortion constitutional amendment on the ballot, you know this Republican Party here in the state would have been doing the exact same thing Republicans are doing in other states to stifle women's economic freedoms. You know it, I know it. On top of that, Dixon and Republicans would have spent their first 100 days attacking and trampling on LGBTQ rights, attacking drag queen shows, passing a version of Florida's Don't Say Gay laws for our public schools, and making it even easier to buy guns after the MSU shooting. That's why I believe it makes sense to juxtapose Michigan against her more right-wing border states, such as Ohio, which has a near ban on all abortions. That's why Whitmer and the Democrats expanding the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act last month, adding protections to LGBTQ citizens, was a huge deal. A huge deal. It's the direct opposite of what Florida and other red right-wing states are doing with their anti-LGBTQ bills. As friend of the show, economist Rick Haglin wrote a few weeks ago in Michigan Advance, the data isn't really in yet on whether or not Michigan will benefit by saying no to bigotry, or as Whitmer has said, bigotry is bad for business. On the one hand, business groups praise Whitmer and Democrats for passing the expansion of Elliot Larson because an expanded workforce is good for the state and good for their businesses. That kind of makes sense. But as Haglin notes, Michigan was among the lowest tier states with job growth of 2.3% between January 2022 and January of this year. And states with restrictive abortion laws and unfriendly policies towards LGBTQ people are also raking in business investments. That is true. But let's remember that Whitmer was dealing with the Republican legislature in 2022. I'm foreseeing if she and the Democrats can turn those numbers around. The old Rick Snyder, DeVos family, right-wing Republican way just wasn't cutting it. That's for sure. And that's why Michiganders rewarded Democrats with the trifecta in state government. And as Haglin wrote in that same column, which, by the way, was titled Whitmer Says Bigotry is Bad for Business, is that true? He says businesses choose where to invest using many factors, including available workforce, infrastructure, quality of life, and cost of doing business. Whitmer and the legislature are currently working to check those boxes with lucrative college scholarships, more investment in local communities and schools, and a huge business location incentive fund, among other initiatives. So you see, making Michigan a place people and businesses want to be takes more investment in education and more investment in local communities. We have to develop a more creative and talented workforce to make Michigan appear more lucrative for business leaders and more lucrative for families to live here. By showing that Michigan believes in freedom for all is a strong, strong first step. We're dealing with years, everybody. We are dealing with years of Republican mismanagement. Turning around backwards economic and social thinking just doesn't change now. Doesn't change on the flip of a dime. Remember, Republicans held full control for 8 years and had at least the state Senate for 40 years. It's not like Democrats can change everything overnight. But by the way, getting back to that Michigan versus Idaho argument, I'm going to play this clip by Idaho State House Democrat Laura Nikuchea. She voiced her opposition to a Republican bill which is banning girls from crossing state lines to get an abortion. And as you will hear Nikuchea say, she's telling her daughters to get out of Idaho immediately.
My parents have done so much for me. I need to be here. I need to be here for them as they age. When they age. I don't think they'd admit that they're aging yet. But I also want to be close to my children as they grow up and become adults. And I want to be there if, God willing, I get to have grandkids someday. And I think my mom would say that she paid it forward, all that she and my dad did for us, and I want to do that for my grandkids. But I can't encourage my two daughters to settle in Idaho with the laws we have on the books. I would be terrified to have my daughters try to carry a pregnancy here. This is not a safe place to be pregnant. I think the statute is tearing families apart and is pushing our OB-GYNs out of state, and this bill does nothing to change that. I declared a Rule 80 because I am I'm a person with a uterus of childbearing age, and if you care about those of us in this position, I urge you to do much better than this.
You see, this is where it starts. We don't want to be Idaho or Florida or Ohio or Indiana. And besides, Ohio and Indiana can't compete with us. Why do you think they come to Michigan during tourist seasons? Because there's nothing in Ohio and there's definitely nothing in Indiana. Well, except for John Mellencamp. I mean, he at least gave us some music that hurts so good. Sorry. Hey, last week, our Lake Michigan neighbors, Wisconsin, just voted to turn its state Supreme Court blue to protect voting rights. I mean, that's huge. And of course, Republicans there are just like Republicans everywhere else. They are now threatening to impeach the judge who won that election fair and square, because when Republicans can't win, they are always willing to resort to a little fascism to get their way. Just as we saw in Tennessee when Republicans expelled the two black state representatives for having the temerity to speak up against gun violence. Although one of the representatives, Justin Jones, is back in the Tennessee House after the Metro Memphis Council voted him back into his seat until the special election, which, let's just say it right now, I'll go out on a limb and predict that he will win quite handily. And his colleague, Justin Pearson, is most likely returning to join him as well. So one thing that I did notice from that whole kerfuffle happening in Tennessee last week is, just like in Michigan, it seems that many state houses and senates are creating some younger, more vibrant, and more strategic thinking Democrats. I love that. The youth shall lead the way and be a beacon of hope for the future of this country. Let Michigan be a beacon of hope for the future as well. Let Michigan show the country just how we are a place everyone will want to live, especially the Gen Z generation. And let's show the right wing how bigotry truly is bad for business. That's how the walls of right-wing bigotry will come tumbling down.
It's progressivism with passion. It's the Left of Lansing podcast, where Pat Johnston shines a light on Michigan's progressive movement. Contact Pat at leftoflansing@gmail.com.
I'm hoping I'll have a guest on next week to join me as I am slowly getting this grand podcast back to where it once was a few years ago. Before I leave, I just want to congratulate the Starbucks workers on Otter Drive in Allen Park on becoming the 13th store in the state to join the Starbucks Worker United campaign. The vote was unanimous. And that's another way to make Michigan a more welcoming state, becoming worker-friendly. I know, hey, that's revolutionary, I suppose. Plus, I'm still not sure why former CEO Howard Schultz has spent so much time on union-busting efforts. I mean, judges across the country have ruled that the company has violated federal labor law 130 times. 130 times! That's according to CNBC. Whew. So this is yet another strong step in the right direction for workers. I'll be back again next week. Again, leftoflansing@gmail.com is the email, and leftoflansing.com is the website. Always remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!